And next up on Free Radio, it's the September 25th, 2025 edition of the Thursday edition of Bathrobes Piers Broadsides. I'm not sure why I'm a little hoarse because I haven't been to a Huff meeting today, which I usually am on Thursdays. I've taken the meeting off to slow down a bit, or at least I'm slowing down and I'm trying to give myself more time to catch my breath, do what needs to be done, do other things that don't get done because I'm pushing to keep up with a pace that really not really too able to do these days as much as I used to do. In any case, this is something that's a flashback, this show you're about to hear, to September 12, 2002. I'm having, as usual, technical quandaries. Hopefully they'll be worked out before the next show, but I'm hoping they won't impact this one too much. The show you're about to hear is the September show before the November 2002 election. This was the closing days of the so-called Three Amigos, the bright hope of the progressives in Santa Cruz that turned out to be pretty dim and pretty wretched. This was at the end of the summer when the progressives who'd just gotten on the council, Ed Porter and Emily Riley, rammed through with the consent of the majority of the council, though I guess over the opposition of Keith Sugar and Chris Crone, or at least in some of the issues, an extended sitting ban, an intensified panhandling ban, increased restrictions on performers downtown. It was interesting because all this came about, if you look at some of the, or listen, or read the incidents that happened, but you can hear it also on the Bathrobes Piers Broadsides shows. There was a Citizens Police Review Board, which was beginning to get invigorated. That was under the leadership of Mark Halfmoon, last African-American chair, the last chair, in which he began looking at selective enforcement against homeless people, use of force by the police, and other issues that had been swept under the rug by previous CPRBs, Citizen Police Review Boards. Also the summer when there was a series of hearings held by the Santa Cruz Shitty Council, as I sometimes call them, and they were particularly shitty in this regard, for sure, at this particular time. As I said, Ed Porter and Emily Riley, who had billed themselves as progressives, Ed Porter came in claiming to wanting to reform the sleeping ban and join the majority that was elected in 1998, 4 years before, 2 years before the Porter and Riley were elected in 2000, to join them and get the sleeping ban removed so that it was no longer a disgraceful mark on the liberal escutcheon of, on the face of the liberal face. But more than that, of course, it was an abusive process that hurt poor people who had no options but to sleep outside, and continues to hurt them. We don't have the word sleeping in the law anymore, but we have sweeps along Coral Street, sweeps along the Green, at the Green Gate, or after the Green Gate at the Golf Club Drive, sweeps along the levee, fenced-off areas are multiplying, and, of course, social services are being cut at the same time. It's pretty nasty stuff. That's in 2025. But again, going back to 2002, September, there was a summer situation where the City Council subcommittee headed by Porter and Riley actually had open public hearings, which was unusual. And they got merchants came and street people came and street performers came and activists came. And they eventually took votes among the community that came as to what the biggest priorities were. And the biggest priorities were police harassment on the street. At least one of them was. And that one was completely ignored by Riley and Porter, who instead cooked up a series of ordinances, as I mentioned before, that made the downtown ordinances passed infamously 8 years before 1994 in order to punish homeless activists and punish homeless people and give the police more powers to essentially legalize what they were doing anyway, in spite of a court ruling statewide that there was the right of homeless people to travel, the right of homeless people to be free from cruel and unusual punishment, the right of homeless people, in essence, to sleep legally, if not necessarily anywhere, but somewhere. And if you didn't have that somewhere, then you had to leave them alone unless they were violating other laws involving public health and safety. And that was a call-in from my techie who is working with me to see that we can restore some access to some of the older radio shows on the Huff website, which are currently, they've suddenly disappeared on us. And so hopefully we can deal with that. Maybe it's a minor glitch or a temporary thing. We'll see. Anyway, what you're going to hear, though, on this particular flashback to September 12th, 2002, is lots of street interviews on Pacific Avenue about the upcoming anti-homeless, well, the anti-homeless ordinances that were passed in a rush over the summer, some thought in order to avoid students and their opposition to the passage of criminalization of being in public, being poor, being a performer, being a peaceful panhandler, being a peaceful street jeweler, that sort of thing, which there was a lot of, I think, vibrant street life going on. There had been some controversial city council meetings where a lot of people had showed up. One woman bared her blouse or to take off her blouse, and I think she and her companions read a thing called the Mammary Manifesto, which was again a sort of letting it all hang out and speak up. Of course, liberals were scandalized and so forth. But there was this right-wing, almost preconditioned agenda that became, that was put into place. It was opposed by those, for example, who favored street performers. Neil Coonerty, owner of the bookshop Santa Cruz, was actually, or at least presented himself as being one who opposed really severe restrictions on street performers. He created T-shirts that said, "Keep Santa Cruz Weird, Save the Street Performers," something to that effect. I may have that slightly wrong. Sorry if that's true, Neil. But he later, of course, removed the Save the Street Performers and just kept the commercially more successful Keep Santa Cruz Weird without really defining what weird meant other than, I don't know, allowing the weirdness of things like the Trump national stuff to penetrate as it had earlier penetrated into Santa Cruz. It's always been the case for poor people, the kinds of restrictions and fears that middle class people are now facing under Trump. And, well, that's what's happening. In any case, interviews aplenty, as I said. You're going to hear Michael Tomasi on medical marijuana, Preacher Mike on the restroom facility absence, Jackie and David, street hemp jewelers, on the police overkill against them. I'll talk about Becky Johnson and Tim Rinker, chalkers, who were, I call them the cheeky chalkers. They were trying to help people by chalking in erasable chalk on the sidewalk as to how to get to a rather obscurely situated this subcommittee that was supposedly going to open up the debate on how to put in better downtown ordinances, but actually simply was a cover for worse downtown ordinances that had already been, it seems to me, and again, I have no paper trail here, so full disclosure there, but it certainly felt that way. They rammed these things through very quickly. This was several months ago. Anyway, these two people, Tim Rinker, who has since died, and Becky Johnson, who's gone south, I think you heard her on an earlier show, She talked about Kate Wells, if you remember, if you've been listening to Free Radio, the attorney Kate Wells. Anyway, there's a discussion of their case. Lots of interviews. And again, I will be giving more details when I write it up and put it on the Huff blog, which is where it's going to be appearing. There's also going to be a Huff meeting next week, I'm pretty sure. We talked about making a Huff only twice a month sort of thing, but I don't think people wanted to do that. I wanted sort of more time off myself, but we've had the so-called loose cannons approach, whereby one week I come and go through an agenda which can be tiresome for a lot of people. It looks to, again, cover the same issues, which involve police sweeps, shelter inadequacies, points of tension that can be used to stop criminalization, and in both in practice and in new law that's being pushed, like the abandoned vehicle ordinance, so-called abandoned vehicle ordinance at the Board of Supervisors, which should be coming up next, I think it's next Tuesday. But unfortunately, that's in Watsonville, so a lot of Santa Cruzans who are impacted by this may not have the wherewithal to get their butts down to Watsonville. And of course, even if they did, we actually were able to stall the ordinance and block it at the last supervisors' meeting in Santa Cruz. But the Board of Supervisors is no longer meeting on the fifth floor of the county building, as it used to be doing. It's now meeting in different places around the community, which makes it, you know, you might say, well, that's an opportunity for other people to get to the Board of Supervisors. Yeah, it's also an opportunity for the Board of Supervisors to proceed with a less public participation, because people don't quite know where the hell to go. Anyway, enjoy this flashback to September 12th, 2002. A lot of stuff in it. Of course, there are people that I remember, because I interviewed them. I remember some of them, anyway. And maybe you'll remember some of them, too, if you were around in those days. And if you weren't, I hope their spirit sort of jumps across the 25 years to nearly 25 years to where we are now, and mobilizes us to take the kinds of actions that we need to take, such as we see happening with the flotilla moving toward Gaza, trying to mobilize the conscience of the world. Wow. Anyway, let's leave it at that. And not leave it at that, but try to mobilize our own consciences locally, work on boycott, divest, and sanction, stop the criminal Israeli genocidal regime from doing its thing, and protect what remains of the Palestinian people, or at least stop the Trump regime and its Biden regime before it, and the Obama regime before that, from selling weapons or providing funding to buy weapons to these Israeli murderers. I'm talking about the government. So, your task is clear, and so is mine. I'm not doing much of it. I hope you do some of it. Thanks. Enjoy.